This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Tonight's halachic topic is naming a baby after a living person. It's a very interesting topic. We'll try and do it justice in the short time that we have. The connection to the parasha is quite direct. Of course, in this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu has his name changed. The pasuk says, after he battles with the Malach of Esav all night, Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'omer oid shimcha ki im Yisrael, ki soriso im elokim ve'im anoshim v'atucho. You battled with the angel of God and with humans, v'atuchol, and you overcame them. So he's no longer going to be called Yaakov, but Yisrael. So we have the connection to the parasha in the concept of names. We know names are very important in Yiddishkeit. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Zayin, Shmo Gorim, that the name of a person defines his essence and actually can impact his destiny. Chazal point out that the real you is the neshama, of course, and the shem, the name of a person, is the middle two letters of the word neshama. So the name of a person is really the very essence, the very core of his very being. Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk would say that there's a connection between the baby and the person he's named after. That's in the brought in Noam Elimelech in Parshas Bamidbar. And more than that, the name of a person is a portent, often of the person's future and his potential. And the example often given is that of Noach. Noach, the pasuk says, he was called so because Lemor Zeyunachamenu Mimaasenu Miitzven Yodenu, that the idea was that Noach would lighten the burden of his family's toil by introducing agricultural tools to the world. So says the Radak. And we know also the Gemara says, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel on the base, the famous story of Rameh, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Huda, they go to the inn, they meet Kidar, and Rameh has the ability to be medayik b'shma, to be medayik, to infer from the name of the person the very nature of that person. So the name of a person is very, very important. And moreover, it's not just the name of a human being, the name of animals. We've quoted once before the Rabbeinu Bachai. If it's on the sheet, it's paragraph 3. If you're listening online, please do email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll happily send you the sheet. But the Rabbeinu Bachai, in Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Tes, says that Chazal tell us that Adam HaRishon had this tremendous chachma, that he was able to name each animal according to the very essence of that animal. And that was his chachma. So for example, he called the Aryeh, the lion, Aryeh, because the lion is sort of the majestic, the king of the jungle, and he has letters which are connected to sort of the names of Hashem, Aleph, Yud, Hey, etc. A donkey is called a chamor. A chamor because it's chomer, it's sort of physical mass, plus its job is to carry burdens, which is chomer, measures of produce. So the difference to any other language, Loshon HaKodesh, the names of the animals even, go to the very core of who the actual essence of that animal. And more than that, it's even names of the body, parts of the organs and limbs of the body. For example, the name for the liver is the kaved. Kaved is connected to the word kaved, which means heavy. And the idea is that the kaved, the liver, is the heaviest organ in the body. The word for a hand is a yad. Each hand has 14 joints, the five knuckles. In a person's hand, you've got five knuckles, and each of the fingers has the middle joint. And then the four fingers have another joint. The thumb only has two, but all the other fingers have a total of three. So that's a total of 14 joints, which is the gematria of yad. A person's eyes, einayim, is connected to the word ma'ayan, which means a spring. And the idea is that an eye needs to be wet and always needs to have the opportunity or the ability to create tears. If a person, Rahman Islam, can't produce enough water, lubrication in his eyes, then he needs to take drops, and it's quite an impediment. A person's ears, oznaim, is connected to the words ma'ozen, and ma'ozen is like a scales because it's to do with balance. So the Loshon HaKodesh is just amazing. It's just amazing. As Rabbi Tat says, it's enough to make you frum. That the names of the very body parts go to the essence of the function of that of those parts. Teeth, for example, are called shinayim, which is, of course, associated with the word shinayim, meaning two, because it's the only limb, the only part of the body which sort of replicates itself and reproduces itself. You have two sets of teeth. You're born with your baby teeth, and at some point, they fall out and you have your adult teeth. you're not born with an arm which sort of comes off, and then you have your baby arm and then your adult arm. So again, shinaim is connected to the word shinaim, the two sets. Okay, so that's just a little introduction regarding names generally of human beings, of animals, and even names of the body. But let's go to the topic at hand, naming a baby after a living person. So the general rule, which is quite well known, is that for Sfardim, that's fine. They name after the living, and Ashkenazim don't. In fact, the Ramban's son, the Ramosha ben Nachman, his son was married to the daughter of the Rabbeinu Yonah, they were Machatonim, and that couple produced a child, and the Ramban deferred the honor of naming the baby Moshe after himself, the living grandfather, but rather they called the baby Yonah after the Rabbeinu Yonah, who had actually recently passed away. So the concept is well established. The Sefer Hasidim is one of the earliest sources which sets out the practice of more contemporary times. Of course, the Sefer Hasidim is a very old Sefer, but the Sefer Hasidim says in Simon Tov Samach, Nochrim Shekerim Nivneim B'Shem Avihem Ein B'Kach Klum. When non-Jewish people call their children after them, as is quite common, or fairly common, Donald Trump Jr. or whatever it may be, Ein B'Kach Klum. If they want to do that, it's a bit strange, but if they want to do that, then no problem. V'Yehudim Makpidim Al Kach. But Jewish people, we avoid doing that. We don't call after people unless they've passed away, not when they're living. However, there are precedents for naming after the living. Some precedents go back to Tanakh itself. The Poskim point out that there is a Rashi in Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Beis Posuk Nun, that Kolev had a son called Chur, and Chur had a son called Kolev. And they bring the Rashi further on that son, Kur, Kolev, was named after his grandfather who was still alive. So you have there, you've got a good raya from Rashi in Tanakh, in Divrei Yomim, that Kolev's son, Kur, named his son Kolev after his living grandfather. More than that, the Yerushalmi in Yuma says that Shimon HaTzadik had two sons. One was called Nechonion, and one was called Shimon, and his father was alive still. There is a Gemara in Shabbos in the Bavli, not in the Yerushalmi, Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, towards the end of Shabbos in Reb Lezer Demila, I'll read you the Gemara. Pam Achas, one time, it's the top box in paragraph 6, if you've got the sheet in front of you. Holachti Lekrachi Hayam, says the Gemara, one time I went to visit one of the islands, Ubos Isha Achas Lefonai, and says from Nosna Bavli that one time a woman came to me in this remote place where I was visiting, Shemola b'no rishon v'meis. Nebuch, she had a child, and they gave mila to this child, and the child died. Sheini, she had a second child, Omeis, and also Rahman, the son, after he had mila, he died. Shlishi, she then had a third child, Hevesu l'fona, and they brought this third child to me. Ro'isiv shehu odom. I saw that he had a very red complexion. Omra amarti la. So I said to her, "Hamtini loyat sheyivle boydomai. Don't do mila straight away. Wait a while. Wait for the blood to sort of settle into the body. Hamtini loyat sheyivle boydomai. She waited until the blood was fully absorbed into the limbs of the body. And she gave him bris mila, and he survived. And they were so happy that they waited, and they could see that he was going to survive. The ruddy complexion had gone away. The blood had settled." Therefore, says from Nosna Bavli, they called the child Nosna Bavli. So again, a clear proof that there is a precedent for naming after the living. So it seems like the Sephardim have it right. They name after the living. What is the reason for not naming after the living? Why is it that Ashkenazi practice is not like that? So in a tshuva, Rabbi Yehuda Asad quotes a sefer called Kerem Shlema, and he suggests a very interesting reason. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yeridei Siman Reish Mem Sif Beis in Hilchas Kibud Al Ve'im, we know there's kibud and there's meira. Kibud refers to the physical acts one does to one's parents, clothing them, feeding them, transporting them, etc. And then there's meira, a certain degree of reverence to parents. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis, Eizehu meira, what is meira? Lo yamad im kaimei ham yuchad lo, not to sit and stand in the designated place of a parent, but lo yikre'enu bishmo, and not to call a parent by their first name. I know apparently it seems to be more and more common nowadays, but it's certainly a lack of reverence to parents to do that. Shame aviv k'shem achem. What if your father is there, and there is another person there with the same name as your father? So the Shulchan Aruch says, mutzalikros acherim shalei b'fon. The father is not there. Then, for example, the father's name is Avraham. So to call another person by that name, if the father's not there, no problem. Says the Taz, but if your father is there, then you can't. It's self-evident, says the Taz. Why? Because your father will think that you're calling him. And really, you're calling the other person Avraham, and your father won't know. And other people standing there will also think that you've called your father by his first name. And therefore, suggests the Sefer Kerem Shlomo, that maybe the Ashkenazi practice not to name after the living is based on this. Because imagine you've got Shabbos lunch at home, and you invited your parents, and you invite, and of course, your kids at home. And let's say you've got a two-year-old who you decide to call Avraham after your living father, who's also called Avraham. And then let's say Avraham does something a bit naughty. He crawls all over the table, and you tell him, Avraham, sit properly. And your father will look, and he thinks you're talking to him. So you could violate this halacha. So perhaps the reason is for not naming after a living parent is because you could come to violate this halacha. However, Rabbi Yehuda Asad rejects that reason. He says that shapi yachol lizoh ba'atzmai. The person can sort that out. They can work something out. It's when a parent is there, lo yikra oz espano b'shmo el b'kinu. He won't call his son by that name. He'll call him something else, some other term. But therefore, what is the reason? Says the Shuvas of Yehuda Yale in Chelik Aleph in Yerodeh Siman Reish Mem Zayin. He says, "I'll call upon him min haga levat from the man to kopit for in the kula makbid mazeh." It's to do with ayin hara, and if a person nowadays will makbid on it, and therefore Ashkenazi practice pshiti says ein lashanas is not to name after the living. Now the Abia Omer, the great Rav Avad Yosef in Chelik Hay in Yerodeh Siman Chof Aleph. He presents a very interesting question, the case of two Zaydas. What is the case? If you look at paragraph 8, Nishalti be'ish v'isha. I was asked by a certain couple, Shezachu v'nifkadu b'ben b'chor zachu. Baruch Hashem, they had a child, their firstborn male child. V'rotzen habal likros Hashem aviv. The father wanted to name him after his living father. V'hoisha dereshes likori Hashem aviha. And the mother wanted to name after her father. So you've got two Zaydas, both alive. And each parent wanted to name after their own father. But Avi Haba, Avi Eshishneh Bechaim, both are alive. Mihem Zuchus Kadima Bezer. So, in the classic way of the Abia Omer, he quotes many, many sources, and he concludes with the following: Klal Ha'ila Sheyesh LaHakbid LaChatchila Likre HaBen Harishon Al Shem Avi Haba, that the father should call his son after his own father. Elim Kein Mochel Al Kavod LaTovus Avi Eshish, unless is the grandfather's been moichel is covered. If avi habal b'chaim, avi ha'isha nifta, if the father's father is alive and the mother's father is no longer alive, royu likros shem haben harishon al shem avi ha'isha, it would be more appropriate to name the child after the dead mother's father, the dead grandfather, l'hokim lo shem b'Yisrael, so it's said that someone should be named after him. V'chein ha'minag. And indeed, like I told you, that's exactly what happened in the case of the Ramban, that the Ramban, who was a mechutan of the Rabbeinu Yona, he had a grandchild and he deferred that honor and told the children they should name the child Yona after the deceased Rabbeinu Yona. But of course, in all of these situations, much common sense is needed and shalom bais issues must be considered. So there we have the idea of naming after a living person. The connection to this week's parsha is that Yaakov Avinu has his name changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. We see the essence of a person's identity, his very being, is somehow contained in his name. The middle letters of the word neshama spell the word shame, and it's a portent of the person's future and his potential, as we mentioned with the Radak on the name of Noach, and that extends only also to names of animals, names of body parts. Regarding naming the baby after a living person, so that seems to be a difference of opinion, different of minhagim in the Sephardim Ashkenazi world. Sephardim name after the living, the Ashkenazim don't. There are precedents for naming after the living, as we've discussed. And the reasons for not naming after the living, which is Ashkenazi practice, perhaps it's the possible violation of that halach of Shulchan Aruch of not calling a parent by their first name, which is more likely to happen if your child is named after your living father. However, Yehuda Assad says that the reason is more to do with Ayin Hara, which is only a problem if you are bothered by it, and nowadays he says we are. Lastly, who has the right to name the baby? That's a big topic, and I think we've mentioned this once in the shir before. But in short, the Sephardim, the custom is the father has the first rights and then they alternate. And in Ashkenazi circles, the mother does. But again, like I said, common sense is needed and Shalom Bayis issues must be considered. The main thing is that we should all live up to the names that we have and fulfill the potential which are contained within our names.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.